What I found with fragrance as a category, as an industry, was there was a lack of storytelling.
This is The Safari. The Safari is a tour around the consumer, brand, and retailing industry. And we have the great privilege here at my company, Traub, to really be exposed to many of the great minds of the industry who are forming and shaping the future of many different parts of the consumer, brand, and retail world. And I felt it was quite interesting for us to be able to not only learn from all of those people as we do every day, but memorialize it into a podcast, which could then be shared with many of our friends and clients and you, obviously, the listener.
Hi, welcome back to The Safari. It's Kate Durge. And today I sit down with Daniel Patrick Giles, founder and CEO of Perfume Head. With a background in luxury fashion, beauty, marketing, and branding, Daniel followed his passion to create a universe of scents for men and women. On today's episode, Daniel and I talk about the importance of storytelling and creating brand equity when building a business to last the next 100 years. This was a true pleasure, and I hope you enjoy. So welcome to the Safari Podcast. Today, I'm thrilled to be sitting here with my dear friend, Daniel Giles. How are you?
Great, Kate. How are you?
I am so good. I love seeing you in sunny LA while we're sitting here in dark and gray New York City.
Well, the first thing I have to say is welcome to the Osmocosm.
Oh, I'm so
happy. Scent universe where every place has a scent. And every scent has a story.
Oh, I love that. Well, this is perfect timing because my day started with a very different scent universe of my, and this brings us back to your history, but my 13-year-old who is discovering scents himself. And I know this is how it started for you, but I think he needs a big lesson on what scents. I walked into the bathroom and I almost passed out with the aroma of some scent he's found on Amazon. So
boys start experimenting with fragrance early. It's quite interesting.
Well, he has already told me he's received several compliments at school, but I told him I'm not sure those are compliments or if they're just people who are saying, wow, that's a scent. So we may need your help, Daniel, but
we have to turn him into a perfume head.
He could be a perfume head. I'm a perfume head and I'm a big fan of perfume head. So I am so thrilled to be able to have this conversation because you and I go back a long, long time.
Long time.
And I have seen your career evolve and morph and to bring you into this universe where you are now. So I'm excited to take our listeners on this journey, but I want to start first about sort of how you got to where you are today. And let's talk a little bit about your background because certainly it created the foundation for where you are.
Yeah. Very much so. Well, thrilled to be here. And, you know, I'm a huge fan. So that's where we start. That's where we begin.
Feeling is mutual.
So I started my career in Canada. I'm from Toronto. I was the creative director, fashion director, marketing executive at Holt Renfrew. And for those who don't know, Holt Renfrew is sort of like a Bergdorf Goodman of Canada. And I was really, really fortunate to spend 15 years there. And I was exposed to every brand in the world from Hermes, Chanel, Prada, Gucci. And I had the great privilege of working with all those brands. And so I like to say that I had an MBA on how to build a luxury brand from those years at Holt Renfrew. And then after 15 years at Holt Renfrew, I was recruited by LVMH and they asked me to join a beauty brand based in San Francisco called Benefit Cosmetics. And I had never heard of it. I didn't know what Benefit was. And it was such a juxtaposition to what I currently had been doing with Holt Renfrew that I decided to take it. I moved to San Francisco. I helped Benefit really become a global brand. My job was global branding, ensuring that if you were in Hong Kong, New York, San Francisco, that the same message, the same visual identity was consistent throughout. After Benefit, I became chief marketing officer of Perricone MD and really helped Dr. Perricone rebrand and reposition after a brand that had been around for about 15, 20 years, created very iconic products, Colplasma, No Makeup Skincare. We're really the first skincare brand to move into makeup and that whole thing of bringing skincare benefits into makeup. That was a big hit for us.
Incredible.
From there, I became CMO at Too Faced Cosmetics. And then I started my own company and helped brand a skincare line called Eighth Day, which has just been acquired by L. Catterton. But as all of that is sort of, you know, transpiring, since I was 16, my real passion has been fragrance. My parents sent me on a school trip to Paris. And as all my friends were going to the Eiffel Tower, I was heading to Galeries Lafayette to buy opium for my mom. Really, it was for myself. And that's really where my sort of obsession and addiction with fragrance began. I love to say that I center and surround myself in scent. It's a, you know, whether it's candles, whether it's personal fragrance, it's a big part of my life.
That's so amazing. And I love that idea. Again, I'm going to think about my young Frankie who will eventually one day be shopping for scents for me. But, the nose. So you had that nose early on and you had that appreciation for scent. But I think about how, Daniel, you and I, our paths crossed during that time of Dr. Perricone and what a brilliant marketer you were and understanding the importance of branding. And as you said, you know, the consistency of that branding. So I know you really took that into deep consideration as you were launching Perfume Head. And I want to talk about that because I think your background certainly has inspired you and influenced you and guided you. But give us a little bit of sense of that process and that creative process. Because scents are so important to you, you and I have spoken about how you lost your sense of scent during COVID, right?
Yeah, well, I almost lost my life to COVID. And I was in bed for 3 months. It took me a year to recover. Mine wasn't a respiratory issue. It was a brain issue. I had these massive, massive migraine headaches that went on for months. I couldn't even move my head. And added to that, I had finished all the fragrances, but we were still sort of tweaking them and playing with them a bit. And I lost my sense of smell for 3 months.
Wow.
And that whole experience really changed my approach to Perfume Head. It gave me an incredible appreciation of our sense of smell. I mean, I don't know if you've ever lost your sense of smell, but the world becomes very blank.
Yeah.
And you just feel a bit lost, a bit discombobulated.
And you take it for granted.
Take it for granted. And I think I took it for granted. And so part of my mission with Perfume Head is really to educate people on how important scent is. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in a world where everything is scented. So when I go to the grocery store and I walk down the cleaning aisle, you know, my Swiffer's scented, my laundry detergent scented, my fabric softeners are scented, and they're not great scents. They're all synthetic. They all sort of, in my view, smell terrible.
Yeah.
And I just saw a real opportunity to bring to the world beautiful, wearable scents that make you feel good. My whole premise is all centered in well-being. I think there's a whole change and shift in fragrance from being something that you wear for someone else and that it actually, you wear it for yourself, you wear it for your own well-being. There's wardrobes of scent. It's not like I would say in the old days where you had a signature scent and you wore that for your entire life.
Right.
So the fragrance industry really sort of, I think, is very much turned upside down in a good way, and really people exploring new ways to express scent. But I really viewed it through the lens of well-being and centering myself in scent.
And creating that story for yourself. As you said, I love that idea that you're not, you know, you're not getting dressed for someone else. You're not putting scent on for someone else to smell. It's really for your own personal experience.
Yeah.
So talk to me about Perfume Head and what sets Perfume Head apart from the other fragrances that are out there. As you said, you're sort of, the fragrance industry has been turned upside down. So tell us a little bit about that.
So when I looked, you know, I was in fashion, I was in skincare, I was in color cosmetics, and particularly the fashion part for me really played a big part in developing Perfume Head, because it's all, for me, it's all about storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found with fragrance as a category, as an industry, was there was a lack of storytelling. When I would go into a store and experience fragrance, the first thing was about the notes. And it was sort of a story about, you know, top notes of amber, musk, patchouli, and there was no real story to it. So number one, I felt like there was something missing with story. I think the shift to well-being was the other piece of it. That really came out of COVID, and a new generation discovered fragrance as a tool for well-being.
Yep.
Storytelling for me is everything, and branding for me is everything.
Well, and that's your past. I mean,
that's my past.
Yeah.
And that really just, you know, everything, I like to say that everything that I've done led me to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because had I not had these incredible experiences, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. And I really wanted to create a luxury brand. That was, you know, what I grew up in. That's what I love. That's what I like to surround myself in. And when I looked at the landscape, there was not many players. There are, you know, about 4 to 5 brands in the luxury fragrance category, which I was quite surprised at.
Mm-hmm.
And when I decided the category and the area that I wanted to be in, I wanted to create extracts.
Okay.
And for those people who don't know what extracts are, very, very high concentration of perfume oil. So our perfume oil is 25% to 30%, whereas an eau de parfum has maybe 15, sometimes 18. And that's a significant point of difference for us.
And why is that? So why did you decide to go in that direction? Is it a deeper scent? Is it strong?
Yeah, great question. It's long lasting. It allows you to really create complex fragrances. It allows for you to experience, you know, your top, heart, and base notes changing and evolving. You end up with a very complex fragrance. And, you know, I just knew that the extracts were the place that I wanted to start. And there were only a couple of brands that had extracts, and nobody had it as a collection. People had it as like a one-off. Baccarat Rouge has an extract. Byredo has a small collection of extracts, but nobody had a brand based on extracts.
Got it.
And that's really at the core of our brand. The other big piece of it is I am a product person first. So in fragrance, a lot of the conversation is about the packaging.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the conversation needs to be inside the bottle, not outside the bottle. And so working with 4 master perfumers from France who are all female, was a big difference, because most of the noses, the master perfumers, are all male. It's a very male-dominated industry. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I brought my male energy in, and I wanted female energy in to balance that.
Yeah.
And I am not a perfumer. I have a great appreciation for what I like and what smells good. But the piece that really brings it all together is working with these perfumers.
Right. Yeah.
And the other thing I think is a real difference for us is We are a Los Angeles-based fragrance brand with a European craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked with a top fragrance house. I worked with one of the best glass manufacturers who does Chanel, Hermes, Louis Vuitton. So I had to create a brand in Los Angeles that could sit beside all the luxury brands. And that really was, that took me almost 4 years to achieve that.
Which is incredible, because just to speak to your, again, your background in branding and what a, you know, legend you are and the brands that you have created before Perfume Head, but that really took you time, and it is so beautiful. Every detail is incredible, but going back to the storytelling, because I think that is the differentiation here, that you can be LA based because of this whole story you've created around your collection.
Correct. So the storytelling for me is next to the product is the most important. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in Los Angeles for over 10 years. I live across the street from the Chateau Marmont. And when I started working with the perfumers, they said to me, most people come in and write us a brief. We want musk, amber, you know, orange blossom, benching other brands. And they said to me, you know, we hope that you can approach this differently based on your background. Really think about how you're going to approach this, because creating a scent is like creating a wine, creating a recipe. You have to have a starting point. And so I made LA my starting point. But because I was a fashion director, I see scent very cinematically. And ironically, I'm in a town that is all about, you know, film cinema. And cinema.
Yeah.
But I really see scent cinematically. So I start off with a little movie that runs in my head, the characters, the location, the music, the colors. And I started to put together books. I created 7 books, and each book was a chapter. And each chapter had a location, it had a time of day, it had an emotion, it had a story on, you know, somewhere is about slipping away to a hidden place in plain sight. Somewhere is based on the Sofia Coppola movie Somewhere that was shot at the Chateau. So I created these very complex, very visual stories that I then handed over to the master perfumers. Who, this was the part that I was so shocked and amazed and sort of goosebumps, the whole thing, is that they would look at a picture. So I had a beautiful picture of Margot Robbie. It was for British Vogue. She was photographed at Flamingo Estates, which mm-hmm. is this beautiful food and food line and based in Los Angeles. And she was sitting on a couch with a white shirt, nothing on, leather. It was a leather couch. And then the nose actually took every piece of that photograph and turned it into an ingredient. So the back, there's this beautiful green painting. They use vetiver.
Yeah.
The couch was leather. They use Tuscan leather. And we literally developed each fragrance from scratch,
the picture,
based on those images, based on the music, based on the emotion. So there was no benching against any other brands. And that process was incredible. And I sort of had no, you know, I'm not from the fragrance industry.
Right.
So I came into it with, you know, kind of like a diaper on, hoping that it all worked.
Yeah.
That really was the catalyst for all the scents that we created, all the stories that we created. And I spend a ton of time with the customer in the stores. I'm very old school. I'm mm-hmm. at Island Gray, or I go to Bergdorf's. And I spray the fragrance on someone and then I tell them the story.
Yeah.
And, you know, first they have to love the fragrance, but they fall in love with the stories. And the stories
are... I was going to ask that. Yeah, I was going to ask that because I think that is fascinating, right? To start with the story and develop a fragrance to that story is so unusual. No one else is doing it. But then when it comes to translating that to the customers, you know, the question of do they buy into the story or do they buy into the fragrance and then the story? So you're hands-on, you're in front of these customers and you can tell that story, but what happens when you're not there?
So we have a book and every fragrance has a poem that we created for it. And it allows the sales associate, the person who's there to sort of have the customer escape into that story. But first you have to love the scent.
Yeah, it starts with the scent.
It starts with the scent, but as they're experiencing the scent, we're also telling the story. And there's something really magical that happens when the story and the scent connect with you. Mm-hmm. And I can see it in the person's face. I can see their whole expression change, almost like a eyes rolling back in the head type of moment. And I know that they love the product. But they go hand in hand very much so. And my mission, as I said to you right from the beginning, I wanted to create beautiful scents that span time, that, you know, I wanted to create a 100-year brand. This is not about wanting to be disruptive or you like it. I wanted them just to be beautiful. And I know that sounds kind of simple. It's quite complex.
Well, they are beautiful scents, but the stories are beautiful. And I guess what I would ask about that, because I think it, again, going back to this idea that this is so unique and so unusual for scents to have these very sort of elaborate, beautiful stories with them. What happens when you've had a customer who falls in love with one of the stories, one of the scents? You don't want to pigeonhole them with that one scent, right? As you said, you don't want to be known as that one. How do you start to layer in the other stories? And have they so identified themselves with that one story that it's difficult to turn them on to other stories?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I'll give you a little story on what happened, what my experience was with that. When we launched at Violet Grey, I was in the store pretty much every day. And what I started to notice was the customer was coming in for a new scent. And in some cases, they wanted to create their own scent. Mm. That is a big thing that's happening in fragrance, because if I say Santal 33, everybody knows what that smells like. It's almost right. Become an iconic universal scent. For the early adapter perfume heads, they're looking for the next and the new. And so, for example, Cosmic Cowboy, which is one of our top sellers, I would spray that on someone, and then I would layer over it Canadian Tuxedo. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden, you have a different scent. And what started to happen was, again, these are very people who have a lot of disposable income. They would buy two fragrances because they wanted to create their own scent.
And talk to us about the pricing there, because when you say they have a lot of disposable income, this is a luxury product. So
our 50 ml is $425. Mm-hmm. They are extracts, 25 to 30% oil, custom bottle, you know, all the trappings that go around it. But it's not I wouldn't say it's an impulse. It's an investment for people.
Yeah,
and so I was quite shocked to see people starting to buy two at a time, because Incredible. They really wanted to have their own personal scent in a way.
Yeah, I love that. And here you are, you know, so you officially launched. Give us the date and give us that distribution strategy, because I think that's also different, you know, to other fragrances and how they've launched.
Right. So we launched September 13th, 2022. So we're a year and a bit old. We're very young.
Still in diapers. You're a baby.
I have seven children in diapers. Right? Yeah. So we launched at Violet Grey. And the reason I picked Violet Grey was that it was local. It was in Los Angeles. And it was my sort of litmus test.
Yeah.
And it gave me the courage and the credibility to move forward. So we had just come out of the pandemic, and I felt like people wanted to see people again, and they wanted that interaction. And so I approached it through luxury prestige retail. So we started with Violet Grey. Then we launched at Bergdorf's Women's. Soon after, we also launched at Bergdorf Men's. We launched at Holt Renfrew in Canada, went back to my roots. We launched at Just One Eye, which is a luxury fashion store in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And then we launched our website last. And the reason we did that is, you know, with the web, you're competing with every brand in the world. So right. No one knows us. How do they find us? And the most important thing we did out of the gate was that we invested in public relations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that I spent my money on. And that gave us brand awareness. That gave us product awareness. And that allowed us, when you go on to Google and you search, you have four pages of reviews from Vanity Fair, Vogue, Harper's Bazaar, Wallpaper. And so
it legitimizes you when you're
exactly. It legitimized us so that when the website launched and people had started to hear about it, our website started on day one. It wasn't, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't like this slow build. And now we've introduced some Google advertising, but that strategy of sort of flipping web last and retail first, I think really helped us to gain that momentum. And as you said, it legitimized us.
Well, and also your background, Daniel, has legitimized things as well. You know, you're not an entrepreneur coming out of nowhere just saying that you're launching this fragrance. You have this background and you have the know-how and the branding. So the credibility is there. And then also with partners, you know, Violet Grey, the credibility of having Violet Grey is really strong. Talk to me about the difference between your unisex fragrance. So what is your percentage of the men's versus the women's? You launched in Bergdorf Women's first. How are you doing now?
Yeah, so I would say that we're 60 female, 40 male.
Okay.
The most astounding thing for me is the male customer.
Why is that?
The male customer views fragrance the same way they view watches, wine, cars, anything sort of collectible. And when you work with a male customer, they're very specific on what they want. Mm-hmm. And fragrance is a huge part of their life. And whereas I say the female customer has so many choices. Mm-hmm. And so they're traditionally looking for something newer, something that nobody else has. The male customer is, I think, the most interesting, surprising for me, because it's collectible for them. So these are guys who collect watches.
Yeah.
Collect vintage cars. They collect wines. And they view fragrance as part of that whole ethos.
Interesting.
So that was really surprising for me. And there is this culture within our male community who just is obsessed with fragrance. In fact, I've seen some of our clients, male and female, who actually are starting to devote rooms in their homes to fragrances.
Wow.
Yeah. Really? Yes. I am not kidding you. Where they have collections of fragrances. I have... One of our investors has over 500 bottles of fragrance.
Oh my gosh.
And they just, you know how you have a dressing room and you have a fragrance room. So it's not the one fragrance that I wear for my whole life anymore.
Right.
There's some real shifts and changes that are really quite wonderful and very discerning. View fragrance like they would view picking a wine.
Yeah.
And notes, the top heart and the bass notes, and, you know, want to be educated. It's really quite fascinating.
Yeah. And so that is so interesting because it is a collection and every day is different, but there's an education there. So going back to your storytelling, are the men as interested in the story that you've wrapped around these fragrances as the women, or are they more interested in the notes and the complexity of what you've accomplished?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that the male customer, first they identify with the scent immediately. Mm-hmm. They identify with the story, but they do want to get more into the notes and the technicality. Complexity of the fragrance. Yeah. They really do.
Watch or a car, or as you said, with the wine.
I also think that, we view ourselves as a global brand. Mm-hmm. So the U.S., we're a U.S. brand, but we will have a global footprint. And there are a lot of cultures who grew up with fragrance as part of their life. And I think that is a big piece of the diversity that's happening in fragrance as well.
Mm. And do you see it happening at a younger age? I mean, we've talked about, you know, Frankie Durgi at 13, discovering fragrance, you at 16, you know, do you think there's so much in the news, right, about the youth in terms of skincare and maybe that's a result of TikTok and what they're seeing on social media, but are you seeing that with your customer base as well? Granted, you're a luxury product, so you're more expensive, but have you seen that through the launch?
100%. And what's interesting with our customer, and I've seen them in all different retailers and web, is age doesn't really play a role. It's more about, I love it, I have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, they're definitely, and I again go back to COVID, it was probably starting before that, but there's definitely a new wave of younger customers who have an appreciation for scent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing it younger and younger, I would agree.
But do you think that is because of social media and their access to information and influencers?
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go on TikTok, there are lots of fragrance influencers, tons of that stuff. So it definitely has a huge impact on it.
So do you go where your customers are? So therefore, when we talk about engaging them, you have an incredible social platform through your Instagram, you know, through all these different avenues. But have you thought about TikTok as an avenue that...
Yes. So my whole philosophy is whatever we do, we have to do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do everything well at once. So what I like to do is build Instagram. So we've built Instagram. It's our mood board. It tells the stories. Our next frontier is TikTok.
Mm.
But before we even get on TikTok, I think the approach we're taking is influencers, influential people, ambassadors that already have a platform on TikTok. We have great relationships and we're building relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing it in a way that we have visibility, but we're not on there yet. And 2024 is the year that we'll, you know, start. I think it's incredible. I think that's where everybody is.
Yeah.
But I also want to do it in a way that is very perfume heavy.
Well, and also a way that, as going back to this legitimacy and this adding credibility and for a fragrance, you know, through social media without being able to test the scent, you know, you really are relying, going back to the storytelling or going back to those that have influence, right? And have a following that their followers will listen and view them as credible, right? When they
Correct.
Are talking about a fragrance.
Correct. And, you know, our website business is, it's quite significant in our overall retail and our overall business. And when you think of an e-commerce customer shopping, they're really buying based on the stories and the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
because otherwise they can't smell it.
Right.
So you really, the storytelling becomes even more important on our website.
It's a branding and marketer's dream when it's done right, which you always have done it right, which is why Perfume Head is already such a success out of the gate. But I wanted a couple more questions before we wrap up, because I am so curious, with 7 fragrances, or is it, where are we now?
So Xanaboud was our 8th fragrance.
Okay.
We launched in September.
Right.
And we have the 9th one coming in April, which is an exclusive to Bergdorf's. And that will really complete the collection. I'm a big believer in a tight assortment. Mm-hmm. And I think you can just get so carried away in products. So that will sort of complete the collection.
Yeah.
And then we start looking at how we franchise our top SKUs. And so we go through a whole exercise on that.
Now, I know the answer to this, because with 9 children, of course, you're going to say you love them all equally. Yes. But if you were to say there's one of these that stands out for you, what would it be and why?
Yeah. So it's Cosmic Cowboy.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I created Cosmic Cowboy for myself.
Yes, because so, you are a Cosmic Cowboy.
My friends, you know, some of my friends call me Cowboy.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a musky amber, which I've worn my entire life. Frederick Malle's musk is one of my favorites. Serge Lutzen, Amber Sultan. Very much inspired by those iconic fragrances. Mm-hmm. And funnily enough, it's our top seller.
It is. And that was your
seller.
First out of the gate top seller.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is so interesting.
Well, you've manifested that with this.
I definitely have.
Yes, for sure. So, okay, Daniel, what is the future of Perfume Head? Where do you see this incredible growth that you've had, but as you continue?
Yeah. So I feel, first of all, incredibly lucky, fortunate that after a year and a couple months, we are where we are. There's a lot of heavy lifting to do. But I really do see it as a global brand.
Yeah.
And I see it permeating into different categories. So I'm working on candles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be working on bath and body.
Amazing.
I would love to see some little Perfume Head shops sprinkled around the world. And I also think that because we're in this, we call it the osmocosm, that there's opportunities for apparel. There's opportunities to go beyond just fragrance without losing your focus, which is fragrance.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I've set up the brand, every fragrance has its own identity, as opposed to being sort of monolithic within the assortment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's stories that can be told. There's product that can be created around Cosmic Cowboy, around Xanaboud, around Room Number. And I think that sort of long-term is where we want to go, where we're creating these little worlds within the fragrance itself. So there's lots, I mean, sort of sky's the limit. I tell myself that I'm creating a 100-year brand.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very important statement, because you make decisions differently.
Yes.
You build and scale a little slower. You're thoughtful to all the elements that go into making a great product. So, you know, I think the future looks really good. Fragrance right now, really interesting what's happening in fragrance. It's on fire, as they say.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I talk to see skincare and color cosmetics a bit saturated. So post-pandemic, fragrance has been sort of the North Star and continues to be. Lots of acquisitions happening in the category. Creed sold to Kering for $3 billion. Byredo sold for $1 billion.
Yeah.
So fragrance is hot right now. But a lot in front of us. We've got, it's just day by day, step by step. So, yeah.
Well, sky is the limit for you. And I love your following your North Star in your universe, which it has grown so much in such a short time. And although you say you're taking it slowly, it's been a very, very impressive ride to date. And I'm just so thrilled to witness it. And I'm so proud of you and for everything you've done. And this has been such a pleasure to spend the time with you. So for our listeners, go on perfumehead.com and follow on social media. And I hope you enjoy the universe of all things Perfume Head. And Daniel, we're just so excited to continue to watch your meteoric rise.
One thing I just want to say is,
yeah,
you were one of, if not the first people that I showed, even before we were at retail to. So
I drank the Kool-Aid
right out of the gate. So that gave me confidence. So I thank you for that.
And listen, it's because of your legitimacy, your credibility, and everything you bring to the table. And as we said all along, it is your ability to be this wonderful storyteller and brander and marketer that I just knew from day one when I saw that deck. I was like, this is going to be a major success.
Thank you.
So for all of those listeners out there, you're hearing it first in year one and a half here. And we're just so excited to continue to watch the success, Daniel. So
thank you so much.
Big congratulations, big love to you, and thank you for joining us.
Such a pleasure.
If you want to learn a little bit more about Traub, you can go to traub.io, where you'll learn a lot about everything that we do. If you're enjoying the Safari, please do share it with your friends and colleagues within the industry. And please also don't forget to subscribe and like it. Until next time.